last week, three men from
Excellent.
were walking along the beach. I just happened to be there and observed this. They were walking along and they found this lamp that's washed up on the shore. It looked like one of those magic lamps. Sure enough, they rubbed it and boom, out came a genie. And a genie said, "There are three of you, I'll give each one of you one wish." The first man thought a minute, he said, "Tell you what," he said, "I'd like to be 10 times smarter." The genie says, "What a wise choice. Wish granted, you are now 10 times smarter." Second man said, "Well, okay, I wish that I were 100 times smarter." And genie said, "Granted, you are now 100 times smarter." Third man began to get the drift, and so he said, "I'd like to be 1,000 times smarter." And the genie replied, "Wish is granted, you are now a woman." How to alienate half your congregation. One fell swoop. God looks at our world and he sees how unsmart we are. He sees the false gods we worship. He sees the culture and crowd created values and priorities that we live by. He hears those words, "In God we trust," but sees that we don't even trust him enough to live the way he wants us to live. He reads our motto, "E pluribus unum," out of many one, but instead what he sees is that we are far from one. We are divided and angry and broken. In our world, our nation, our community, and yes, even in so many of our homes. God wants to heal us. He wants to change us to live and be blessed by the ways that he wants us to live. And so this summer, he is offering us this summer series for this to happen. For us to know his word, and his word then begins to fold into our heart, and his word comes into our heart, we actually begin to believe it and to want it, to want what he wants and to begin to live it. God is starting his conversations through his prophets, more or less going in the chronological order, not the order in which they're listed in the Bible, but in the order in which they spoke. And this week, his chronological order prophet is Hosea. Hosea, like all the prophets we have spoke about so far, was an ordinary man. He was a farmer. But not saying that all farmers are ordinary, by the way, Henry. But he's a farmer, but God takes this ordinary man and does extraordinary things with him. He calls him to speak to the people of Israel in the 750s BCE. His nation is embroiled in political division, nationalism, materialism, violence, war-making, superficial pleasure-seeking instead of seeking to please God, this widening chasm between the rich and the poor, environmental destruction, worshiping the gods of the culture, worshiping God when it suits them. God wants so much for Hosea to understand how he feels and to communicate it to the people that he commands Hosea to marry an unfaithful woman, a prostitute. Her name is Gomer. Possibly she was a temple prostitute, which was a way that people helped to worship Baal, who was the god of success and a life purpose of self-indulgent pleasure. But despite all this, God says to Hosea, "You will love her." This is the message of Hosea, a story of unconditional love. God uses Hosea to start a conversation with us this morning about his love for us, about our unfaithfulness, and how his love can heal us, heal our brokenness, and change us to live the way that he wants us to live. Here are the words of Hosea to us this morning. When the Lord first spoke to Israel through Hosea, he said to Hosea, "Go and marry a prostitute. Your wife will be unfaithful, and your children will be just like her in every way. My people have left me and become unfaithful." So, Hosea married a woman named Gomer. She had 3 children, parentheses, Parents, not quite clear. When she gave birth to a son, God said, "Name him not my people, because the people of Israel are not my people, and I am not their God." Yet, the day is coming when the Lord will say to them, "You are the children of the living God, for I am going to allure her back into the desert, and there I will win her back with words of love. I will give back to her the vineyards and make Trouble Valley a door of hope. I will remove all of the weapons of war from the land, and my people will live in peace and safety. I will be true and faithful, and I will show them constant love and mercy. I will say, 'You are my people,' and they will say, 'You are our God,' and I will make them mine forever." Then the Lord said to me, "Now go again and show your love for your wife who's committing adultery with her lover. Love her just as I love my people, even though they turn away and party with every god who takes their fancy. I did it. I paid a high price to get her back. It cost me the price of a slave." The Lord says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him and called him out of Egypt as my son. But the more I called him, the more he turned away from me to the other gods who called him. He plays at religion. Yet I was the one who taught Israel to walk. I took my people up in my arms. I healed them and rescued them from human bondage. But they did not acknowledge that I took care of them. I drew them to me with affection and love. I picked them up and held them to my cheek. I bent down to them and I fed them. Still, they insist on turning away from me. They cry out because of the yoke that is on them, but no one will lift it from them. Yet, how can I give you up? How can I abandon you and turn you loose? How can I leave you to be ruined? My heart will not let me do it," God says. "My heart will not let me do it. My love for you is too strong. As I think about you, my compassion grows warm and tender. I will not act in anger. I will not destroy you, for I am God and not a mere human being. I am the Holy One and I am with you. I will not come to you in anger. My people will follow me when I roar like a lion at their enemies. They will hurry to me and I will bring them to their homes again. I, the Lord, give my word." The world of Hosea is disturbingly too much like our own. Hosea confronts us with what is there in our lives and our relationship that is not what God wants. Shows us that we are unfaithful. Pride instead of humility. Self-indulgence and self-focus and self-esteem instead of generosity and compassion and caring for the environment. Anger and violence instead of forgiveness and peace. Division and judgment instead of togetherness and love. And God mourns. He weeps over the broken lives, the broken relationships, the broken schools, this broken nation. What God sees is this heart he gave us is like this, is falling apart. And because it's falling apart, worse, our hearts are diseased. Our hearts, my friends, have fallen victim to the infection and the poison of our culture that has taken over our hearts from our God, and we are unfaithful to Him. God commands us, as the other prophets do, to face up to what is unfaithful in our lives. That is why the prophets make us uncomfortable. That is why I am sure that this series is not your favorite. And why I reluctantly agreed when God kept pushing me, "It's got to be at the prophets, Lawrence." And I said, "No, they're not going to like this. I'm not going to like this." God keeps pushing me, though, because it is through the prophets that we have the key to the door, God says, from Trouble Valley to hope. Hosea shakes us out of our blindness and our complacency, our stubbornness, our hopelessness. He uses blunt and offensive words. "You are unfaithful. You are like a prostitute, polluting the life and relationships I gave you. You party with whatever God suits your fancy. You play at religion. God seems incredulous, even puzzled at this. He says, well, I gave you life and I taught you how to live and I give you all you need to live and I feed you and protect you and pull you to my cheek and I love you, let you run from me and you turn from me no matter how much I pull you to me. Yet God does not give up. He declares and promises that his love is unbreakable. So he invites us to start a conversation with him, to win us over, to win us back, to bring us home to the life that he wants to live with us. God begins with this conversation starter number one. Will we believe and let God fulfill his promise that he will redeem us and take away whatever trouble there is in our lives and let us start anew? God declares to us in some of the most hope-filled words in all of the Bible. Listen to these words. You insist, Lawrence, in turning away from me, yet I will not abandon you. I will not turn away from you. I will show you constant love and mercy. I will roar at your enemies. And I will turn your trouble to hope. I'll bring you home again. I'll give you all a need. I will give you peace, protection from harm, and help you live up to your claim of being a child of the living God. God proclaims this to me. You and me, but stuff happens along the way. We know we have the DNA of God in our lives. You can repeat it right now. We're all precious children of God. Yeah, we are. But stuff happens. Other gods catch our fancy. We play at religion. We let the culture and the crowd and the media inject this poison into our lives and relationships. We drift away with unhealthy thoughts and unhealthy words and unhealthy actions, unhealthy attitudes and addictions. Our heart's a disease, and we suffer, God says, the yoke of stress and worry and anxiety and disappointment and depression. And we begin to believe this is the way our lives will always be as people and a nation. And basically, we give up. However, God proclaims that this is a lie. This is not the way that our lives are meant to be, and not the way they can be. Now, I'm going to remind you of a symbol that I have shared with you once before, some of you, to illustrate the point. Anybody see what this is?
You tell what it is? What is it?
$20.
$20. And who would like a $20? Some people don't want it. My goodness. Wow, you really are Christ-like. No, give it to the church. Yeah, all right, give it to the pastor. So what would happen if I just crumpled it up like that? Suppose I just tore it a little bit, okay? Terrible bit like that. Suppose I just took this dirt and I rubbed it around this dirt and made it really, 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 really soft. What if I did that? Threw it on the ground and stomped it. To the Creator. Same is true of us, with God. No matter how far or how long we run away from God, no matter how much we crumple and soil and tear and mess up our lives, we are still a precious child of the living God. And our value to Him is the same today as the day you came crying into this world. This is the promise Hosea makes. I give you my word, God says. I will turn your trouble into hope, your brokenness into vision, into wholeness, your worry and anxiety into peace, whatever is impure in you into a life like a child of the living God. So that your life will then look
like this. That is the promise of God. God wants to start a conversation with you this morning, maybe continue it, asking us whether we will trust that He can do this for us because we are His precious child. Because once we begin to really trust that, then we can begin to be changed. For if we trust Him, God can begin His conversation starter number two, which is where we let God free us and win us back to the new life that is possible with His love and with the price He paid for us. God reveals that guilt trips, this is what God has figured out, guilt trips and threats and punishment and self-inflicted suffering is not going to win us. Instead of what God says, I'm going to plan B. And here's plan B. I will win you back with constant love and mercy. I will win you back with love. And God loves us so much that He does not want us to even ask for confession or forgiveness. Don't miss this. God is saying this to the people of Israel and to us today. I'm not waiting for you to ask for forgiveness. I'm not asking you, Fred, to confess your sins. I'm doing this for you. I'm going to win you with my love, even though you don't ask for it, and maybe you don't even want it. I'm going to make you want it, God says. So God commands Hosea, now go and show your love for your wife who's out there committing adultery with a lover. Love her just as I love my people. Even though they turn away and party with every god who takes their fancy, Hosea pays whatever it takes, and it's a lot, he says, to buy her back, to free her from the slavery to the men who were enslaving her, to free her from the sin, whatever it is that was getting in the way between her and him, to live in faithfulness with him. What the scripture reveals to us is that Gomer is so touched by his sacrifice of love, not even asked for, that she comes and lives with him and never leaves him again. This is a self-giving, sacrificing love and response that God wants that we see in this play, Les Miserables. Y'all know this? This is the story of Jean Valjean. It's partially based on a true story. He goes to prison, France, goes to prison for stealing a loaf of bread. He becomes a bitter man, a hard man, and a godless man. Jean Valjean escapes from prison. He comes in a storm at night, running from the law, to the house of a very poor and humble priest. And the priest welcomes him in. He feeds him. He gives him warmth. He gives him a place. He provides him shelter from his weariness and from the storm and from the dark. And during the night, Jean Valjean sees the priest's silver. It's the most valuable thing the priest has. It's a priceless family heirloom. And when the priest goes to bed, here's what happens.
Yeah. so, will you sort of so? I don't want to hear anything more about it.
I'm sorry to disturb you.
Gordon!
But I have my eye on this man.
God!
I'm very angry with you, Jean Valjean.
What happened to your eye, Monsignor?
Didn't he tell you he was our guest last time?
Oh, yes. After we searched his knapsack and found all this silver, he claimed that you gave it to him.
Yes. Of course I gave him the silverware. But why didn't you take the candlesticks? That was very foolish. Madame Gillot, fetch the silver candlesticks. They're worth at least 2,000 francs. Why did you leave them? Hi. Monsieur Valjean has to get going. He's lost a lot of time. Did you forget to say that?
Are you saying he told us the truth?
Of course. Thank you for bringing him back. I'm very relieved.
Release him!
You're really letting me go?
Can you go to the bishop?
Madame Gillot, offer these men some wine. They must be thirsty.
Thank you.
Don't ever forget. You've promised to become a new mother.
Promise? Why are you doing this?
Jean Valjean, my brother, you no longer belong to me. With this silver, I bought your soul. I've ransomed you from fear and hatred. And now I give you back to God.
The silver and the love of this priest ransomed Jean Valjean from the angry, bitter, broken life he was living. And Jean Valjean's life has changed. His life does indeed belong to God. And everywhere he goes, he gives the same love to criminals, a prostitute, and even to the police inspector, who chases him day after day, year after year, to bring him home for stealing a loaf of bread. And he says to each one, "You are God's creation. You are beautiful in his eyes. He loves you. He wants you back." Does this sound familiar to you? It should. The Gospel of John says in the third chapter, "For God so loved the world, not because he was angry with the world, but because he wanted to perform magic with the world, because he loved the world, that he paid the ultimate price for us, sacrificing what was most precious to him, his son, Jesus, who came and giving up the glory of heaven and died on the cross to ransom us and take away whatever is getting in the way of the life he wants for us." This indeed is what, Todd, Jesus wants to put his cross at the center of our heart and claim us. Hosea says that he will take us out into the desert, away from the distractions and the attractions of other things, to overcome us and claim our lives forever, fulfilling his promise that the broken will be whole, the worry and anxiety will be peace, we'll be protected from harm, and God will fill us with love. I want us to take a moment this morning to pray about this. Sally asked me on the way back from the beach how it is that we can be changed by God's love, and what's getting in the way. I said, "Honey, I think the thing is getting in the way for me and so many others. We just don't think God did anything for us. We don't remember that he died and gave his life in hopes of winning us. Wow, God would do that for me? Maybe I can trust Him just a little bit. To start living His heart instead of mine. So I want you to take a moment this morning in silence to pray about what God did for you and how much He loves you. And ask, just lift up one thing that He wants to change about you that is unfaithful to Him. The way you live is not the way He wants. Please pray. Loving God, You want so much to win us back that You will not act in anger. Instead, You promise, I'm going to win you back with love. And I'm going to pay the price, God says, of what is most precious to Me. Lord, I just hope so much that in this time of silence, we realize what Jesus did for us. How He wants to take that sin, that disease, that poison that's in our heart, our marriages and families, and just take it away. He paid His price for us. And Lord, help us just to know that a God who would do that for us, maybe we can trust You, Lord. Maybe we can trust You enough to believe how much You love us. And to let You have Your way with us. That's our prayer, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, it starts out like this. The heart like this. And then it's like this. We say, yeah, I knew I could fix it on my own. Y'all ever try to fix your life on your own? That's what it looks like. But then God says, let Jesus take hold of your heart and heal it, and heal that brokenness. Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm betting that some this morning in the silence, some of you didn't pray at all. Maybe because you don't think you need it. Maybe because you're afraid to face up about what it is that God needs to take out of your life. Maybe you don't think you're worth being loved. I bet you know somebody like that. What God says to us is, even if you didn't pray, even if you don't think you need Me, even if you don't think I could possibly love you, maybe you know somebody like that, God says, then I want to invite you to conversation starter number 3. It's a promise. God's love is constant, relentless. He will never get you up on you until you are His forever. This is the great good news, the promise through Hosea. I will not abandon you. I will not turn you loose. I will not leave you to be ruined. My heart will not let me do it. My love for you is too strong. As I think about you, imagine God thinking about you. Sally says, how can God think about everybody? I said, because He's God and not a human being, as He says. I love these questions, Sally. I said, very practical. And when I think about you, when I think about Sally and Patty and Ina and Emma and Julie and Zana and Doug and Susan and Henry and Bobby and Dick Seidensman and Chris, He's thinking about you right now. And as He thinks about you, His compassion for you grows warm and tender. Because he wants to win you. Win whatever is diseased in your life. He wants to win that out of you with love. And maybe we'll just trust that he loves us that much. Maybe we'll just let him win us a little bit. And then forever. This is a message. This is personal. I'm going to do it anyway. But the Father's Day card I got from our son, Fred. Starts this way. Don't get ahead of me. Dad, there were times when running away from home seemed like a good idea. Next page. But you never did. Thanks. Happy Father's Day. And then he says, this part we blanked out. And I said, you know, I'm going to share it anyway. Happy Father's Day, Dad. You have taught me so many things about what makes a good father and a husband. And for that, I'm incredibly grateful. Our God never runs away from us. And for that of our Heavenly Father, we are, my friends, incredibly grateful, I hope. And I'm especially grateful because I am a chronic sinner. I sin every day. My thoughts I have, words I say, things I do, words that I don't say, things I fail to do, the times I fail to pray, the times I fail to call you. Because I'm too busy, I really don't want to. Yet, God never lets me go. He keeps sending me messages of love. He's pursuing me. He wants me. And he sends me prayers. He sends me people like you. He sends me words like this to win me back with love. It's the promise Jesus makes in the Gospel of John. I will draw all people to myself. And I am amazed at how many preachers and people try to redefine the word all. All. And the way Jesus will draw all people to himself is by love. You see, it looks like this. This is what God wants for us. He wants our hearts to be, back up. He wants our hearts to be like this. To be one. Is your heart one with God right now? Does your heart and God's heart look like this? It's like mine? No way. Mine is like this. As I drift away from God. And every time we take a step away, it gets harder to get back. And so, this happens. God promised us today, he said, this is my word, he says. My word. That I will win you back with love. And your heart will look like this. If we let God take us in his hands and love us like this, that's our heart. Glowing with love and joy. And all the blessings of God. Boy, do we need to know that. And boy, do we need to live it. Amen.